Okay, we left off on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis at the very bottom. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Rebbe, Eved Shenasas Baschorin Bifnei Rabbi Yatzel Cheres. If an Eved marries a Baschorin, he marries a regular woman in front of his master, and his master doesn't say anything, so the Eved is Yatzel Cheres. Says Rashi, why is he Yatzel Cheres? Is this an act of Shichrur when the master doesn't say anything, and when the Eved marries someone? Says Rashi, Di ilav de shichrei lo have shavuk le limits of baschorin. Had it not been that he's already freed him, he wouldn't have allowed him to marry a baschorin. Meaning, this is not that he's—it's not that he's being meshachar him now. It's that it's an indication that he was already meshachar him. Otherwise, the Eved would never have been permitted to marry the baschorin. The master would have stopped him. If you look in the margin, the Mesoras Shas adds in v'lo od el shekofinus rabo v'kosev lo rabo shtar shichrur. However, we still force the master to write a shtar shichrur on the Eved. So what's the svara with the writing of the shtar shichrur? Meaning, if this is a valid raya, that in fact the Eved is already meshuchrar, so isn't a shtar shichrur a waste of time once the Eved is already meshuchrar? So this seems to be machlokas rishonim. The Rush in Simon Chaf Hey writes that it's a chumrah midrabanan. We're afraid that the Adon is going to come back to the Eved one day and say, lo shichrar tiyaz avdi, I was never meshachar you, I don't know why you think you're a free man. And he's going to claim that he should still be working for him, that he still owns him. So in order to cover ourselves from that end, to make sure that the Eved will always be able to prove that he's in fact Meshuchrar, we force the Adon to write a Shtar Shichrur, because we're fairly confident that he's already Meshuchrar, and we just don't want the Adon to have any future Tainas. However, the Tur quotes from the Ramah, the Rush alludes to the fact that the Ramah disagrees with him, it doesn't get into details. The Tur quotes from the Ramah, Resh Mem Hei, Ramah, obviously, that it's Me'ikra Din, that this is not only a Chumrah, and the point is that the reason it's Me'ikra Din, I mean, it's not only to address a possible dishonesty on behalf of the Adon, but rather it's Mikra Din, because the assumption that the Eved is already Meshuchrar only is a Safek. It's not a Vadai, we're not certain that he's Meshuchrar. So if we're going to make the Eved literally a Ben Charin, and he's going to be allowed to marry a Bas Charin, so it's going to be important to be certain that he's Meshuchrar. So the way to accomplish that with certainty is by having the Adon give a Shtar Shichrur. Because at this point, the woman's only suffik mekudeshes. The whole thing is only a suffik. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Kol kach yesh biyadcha." You say such a chiddush. Va'anisho. Now I've always learned hakosev shtar eris in l'shivchaso. Ramei romer mekudeshes. Chom remei mekudeshes. That if a person writes a shtar eris into a shivcha. Now this is a very similar case, but it's the reverse. Instead of the eved going and marrying a baschorin, it's a regular guy trying to marry his shivcha, a regular guy trying to do kiddushin with his shivcha. So the mayor says that the kiddushin works; she's mukadeshes, and the chachamim say that she's ena mukadeshes when you write a shtar erusin to the shivcha. So says the gemara, meaning according to the chachamim, it doesn't work. We don't assume that she's meshuchreres, and therefore there's meaning that it must be that he was meshachrer her beforehand, and therefore it's a valid kiddushin. We don't make any such assumption. We assume she's still a shivcha. So kedama rabba barav shila kishar rabba hiniach lo tfilin hachanami kishar rabba hisio isha. Just like we're about to explain in an upcoming discussion, that there's a difference between when the Eved puts on tefillin himself versus when the master puts tefillin on him, so too in our discussion, in the context of our discussion, we can distinguish between a case where an Eved initiates on his own to get married, and Kishar Rabo Hisio Isha, when the master goes and gives him a wife. Because when the master is giving him a wife, then we could have a chazaka di lav de shachare lav emavdi sura al yada. Rashi says that had he not already freed him, he would never control and make him do an iser. He wouldn't put him in a situation of iser by giving him a woman who's a free person. So that's why it's an indication that he's already freed the Eved when he gives him a wife. If the Eved stam marries a wife, enochinami, it's not an indication of anything. But frak the Gemara, wait a second. We just said when the Adon himself marries a shivcha, it's not an indication of anything. Is there such a thing that if he were giving a wife to the Eved, he would never violate an Isser, he would never make him do an Isser? But when he takes a shivcha for himself, we assume he is violating an iser. Why would he be more concerned about the iser of the eved than he is about his own iser? Just very interestingly, the Chuvus Shari Deya, Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Mem Tes, brings a raya from this kasha of the Gemara to the famous discussion of the Minchas Chinuch regarding Lifnei Iver. Minchas Chinuch has a discussion, as a chakira, what if a person causes someone else to violate an Issa D'Rabbanan? Has he violated Lifnei Iver Midrabbanan? Or have you violated Lifnei Iver Midaraisa? How could it be that you violated Lifnei Iver Midaraisa? What you've caused the other guy to do is only an Issa D'Rabbanan. So the svara is that it's Logara Me'etza Ra'a. Lifnei Iver could mean causing someone to do an Isser. It's also a violation of Lifnei Iver to give someone bad advice. So isn't causing someone to violate an Issa D'Rabbanan, at the very least, it's bad advice, so it should be Lifnei Iver D'Oraisa, perhaps. So the Shari Deya brings a raya from here, that if you're going to say causing someone else to do an Issa D'Rabbanan is Lifnei Iver D'Oraisa for you, then the Gemara never would have had a kash over here. Because the Gemara is saying, how is it possibly logical to say that I wouldn't want him to do the Isser, but I wouldn't have a problem with it myself, doing the Isser myself? Well, if you hold that marrying a shivcha is only drabanan, as the Rambam in Hilchos Yisuri Bia holds, so if you hold marrying a shivcha or an eved marrying a baschoron is only drabanan, so when I cause him to do the issa drabanan, I'm doing an issa d'oraisa. When I do the issa drabanan, I'm only doing an issa drabanan. So the Gemara's kasha wouldn't be a kasha. I thought it was a very, very sharp point in terms of that minchas chinuch. But anyway, so the Gemara's kasha is, how could it be that I would have no problem doing the Isser myself, but when it comes to making the Eved do it, I would have a problem making the Eved do the Isser? The Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the back of the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Adrabba, we have a concept in Adam Chote V'lo Lo, that a person wouldn't do an Aveira if he has nothing to benefit from it. But if you'd benefit from the Aveira, so you're much more inclined to do the Aveira. So maybe that's what the Gemara is assuming over here. What kind of kasha is this? Why would I do the Isser for myself, but not for the Eved? Well, I would do it for myself, because I get a wife out of it. So I'm going to get Hanah from doing the Isser. I won't do it for the Eved, because why should I do the Aveira for the Eved? It doesn't benefit me in the least to give him a wife. So maybe that's the svara. Why would the what's the Gemara questioning exactly? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden answers that no, in adam chote v'lo lo doesn't beat out a chazaka that lo shavik hetera va'avid isura. Meaning, if there are two ways that I can get my benefit that I'm interested in getting, either b'derech heter or b'derech iser, still we assume I would choose the derech heter. We assume, why would I do, if I want to marry this woman and she happens to be a shivcha, I have two options. I could marry her now as a shivcha and violate an iser, or I could free her and then marry her. And then it's b'derech heter that I'm forgetting about the Olam Tavodu issue, but then it's b'derech heter that I'm marrying her. So lo shavik heter v'avid isura, I certainly wouldn't do it in the usher way, so the Gemara's question still stands. Why is it that for the Eved, when I would give a woman to my Eved, that's an indication I must have freed the Eved because I wouldn't give him an Isser, but when I marry a Shivcha myself, it's not an indication of anything because I'd be happy to do the Isser. So says the Gemara, Amrav Nachum Reitzcha, Kacha B'Vayiskinan, Da'amr La'tzi'ibo V'Iskachibo. Now the case is where the guy gives the Shivcha a Kiddushin, and he's saying, with this, I want you to, he's acknowledging that he never freed her before. What he's saying is, I want you to be freed and mekudeshes with this one act. And the question is, does that work? It's not a question of whether he did it in the past. He says he was never meshacharer in the past. He intends on being meshacharer right now. So Rav Meir savri yesh b'lashon hazeh lashon shichur. Rabbanan savri yesh b'lashon hazeh lashon shichur. Rav Meir holds that included in this lashon is a lashon of shichur, and therefore she is freed and mekudeshes. And the Rabbanan hold that it's not so. That in b'lashon hazeh lashon shichur, there have to be some details that are worked out in the mitzvah. And points out a shtar shichur requires zman. Shtar kiddushin doesn't have zman in it. Okay, so it doesn't possible a shtar kiddushin to put zman in it. But there's some details that need to be worked out. But either way, if you hold that it has a lashon shichur, so it could be worked out that he was meshachrer her in the same act that he's mekadesh her with. Okay, good. Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Eved she'iniach tefillin b'fnei rabbi yatzal l'cheirus. Once we're on the topic of an Eved doing certain things that indicate that he's a ben chorin in front of his master, and whether we take that as proof that he's in fact already been freed. So says the Gemara, if an Eved puts on tefillin in front of his master, he's Yotzei L'Cherus. Meisvei, frek the Gemara, Love Emenu Rabbo, Osha So Rabu Apotropos. If a master borrows money from the Eved, meaning borrowing money is an unusual thing to do from an Eved, because you could just take it. Whatever the Eved owns, you own. Mashkana Eved Kana Rabbo. But if he borrows money from an Eved, or he appoints the Eved as an Apotropos, caretaker over something, Osha Hiniach Tfilin Bifne Rabbo, or if the Eved puts on Tfilin in front of the master, Osha Kara Shalosh Psukin Bebes HaKnesses Bifnei Rabbo, or the Eved reads three psukim in shul in front of his master, Hare Zeh Lo Yatzel L'Cheres. He does not go free. So isn't that a steer? Rabbi Shulman Levi just said, Eved puts on tefillin in front of his master, he does go free. Amar Rabba Bar Shila Kesher Rabbo Hiniach Lo Tefillin. So this is the discussion we were alluding to before. There's a difference between an Eved who puts on tefillin and a master who puts the tefillin on the Eved. When the Eved puts the tefillin on himself, he does not go free, even though the master doesn't say anything. But when the master puts the tefillin on the Eved, then that's an indication that the Eved has already been freed, because the master wouldn't give him tefillin if he were not yet a free man. Tosos over here says, how is that a raya that he's free? Is it usher for an Eved to put on tefillin? Meaning, how is wearing tefillin in any way an indication that the person's a ben chorin? And Tulsa says, I know what you want to say, but don't say the pshat. I know which pshat you're gonna be enticed to say. And that is the pshat that when the Eved puts on tefillin, he's going to make a bracha. Bracha to Hashem Elokei Melachom Asher Kidishanu B'Mitzvosav V'Tzivanu. And he can't make such a bracha if he's still an Eved. He says, that's the pshat you're going to want to say. But he says, that's not the correct pshat. Tulsa says, V'lo mishum d'lom ha'avad la'yisur d'mevarech alayan v'ika bracha l'vatala. Don't say it's because he's going to make a bracha and it's a bracha levatala. He says, I'll prove to you that's not the correct pshat. It's a sukkah, lula, v'shofar, v'kama mitzvos asei, shanashim mevarchos. There are many mitzvos asei shazman grama, where women are pater from, and an Eved is the same thing as an isha, where women are pater from, and yet they still make a bracha on it. So you see that you're allowed to make a bracha, even if you're not commanded in a certain mitzvah, even if you're an eina mitzvah v'yoseh. Ella, rather the pshat is, why is it that it's an indication of anything? When an Eved puts on tefillin, that it's an indication that he's a free person? Not because of the bracha, elmishum de'ein avadim regilim b'tefillin. It's just not normal for an Eved to wear tefillin. V'ilav z'shukre lav v'manachlei. And had he not been freed, he would not put on tefillin. I mean, tefillin's also mitzvah shazman grama, right? Because Lila loves man tefillin and Shabbos loves man tefillin. So tefillin's also a mitzvah sasei shazman grama. So technically, you could a woman or an Eved could volunteer a mitzvah sasei shazman grama, but tefillin is not one that's commonly volunteered. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, the Raman, Simon Lamed Ches, says that if women want to put on tefillin, mochen biyadam, we tell them not to. Magen Avraham explains, why do we tell them not to? Because unlike a mitzvah, let's say like sukkah, or tzitzis, or anything like that, where you don't lose anything by doing the mitzvah, meaning at worst, you're ain't a mitzvah v'yosi, you're getting your kiyum mitzvah anyway, you're volunteering a mitzvah, so the woman doesn't lose anything by doing the mitzvah. Tefillin runs a risk with it, because by tefillin, there is a halacha that you need to keep a guf naki, and a woman, it's very, very difficult for her to keep a guf naki, and therefore, she wouldn't put on tefillin if she shouldn't put on tefillin because she's not mitzvah, and therefore the Eved wouldn't put on tefillin unless he was a ben chor. Now, obviously, it goes without saying, this comment that Tosfos has, that women make brachos on sukkah, lulav, shofar, is not pashut at all. The Rambam in Hilchos Tzitzis and Hilchos Sukkah, the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says women are not allowed to make a bracha on mitzvah sasei shazman grama. The Bir HaGra explains, and all the Achronim really explain, why is it that a woman can't make a bracha? Tosfos alludes to this elsewhere in Rosh Hashanah. Why is it that a woman can't make a bracha on mitzvah sasei shazman grama? Simply because she can't say the words Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvosav V'Tzivanu. The Kiddushanu B'Mitzvosav is no problem, but V'Tzivanu Le whatever. She can't say V'Tzivanu L'Aniach Tefillin. She can't say V'Tzivanu Leishiv Basuka. It's simply not true. She was never commanded to do that mitzvah. How does Tosfos address that? How is she allowed to say V'Tzivanu if in fact she's never been commanded? So Rav Elchanan in Kiddushin, in Oskuf Membeis, in Kovit Shiurim, quotes from the Ran. He says, V'aran kasav dimishum hachi nashim avarchos on mitzvah shazman grama. kivan da anashim nitzavu, because men are commanded in mitzvah shazman grama, v'inunami shaychi b'mitzvah sharinotos lein schar, and they have a relationship with the mitzvah as well, because they also get rewarded for the mitzvah. They get rewarded as an ena mitzvah v'yoseh. So since men are commanded, and they have some reward for doing it, therefore they can say v'tzivanu. And Rav Chanan says, I don't understand what he's talking about. Einu muvan, eiza tam yesh b'zesha anashim nitztavu, sheyecholos lomar v'tzivanu. Why does it help me that men are commanded that she could say v'tzivanu? And the fact that she gets schar, that doesn't help me either. How does she get schar, but she's not v'tzivanu? So neither of these reasons are really satisfactory. So Rav Chanan suggests, based on the Chizkuni, he quotes the Chizkuni, that there's a concept. We always think of mitzvahs as something you must do, but there's a concept called the mitzvah kiyumis. For instance, matzah after the first night of Pesach is a mitzvah kiyumis. First night is a chiyuv; you have an absolute obligation to do the mitzvah. And after that, it's only a mitzvah kiyumis. You can do it if you want, and you get schar for doing it, but you're not punished if you don't do the mitzvah. It's a chiddush that there exists such a concept. Rav Moshe famously applies this concept to the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Right, Rav Moshe holds that the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, certainly Bizman Hazeh, is not a chiyuv, but certainly is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah kiyumis to do the mitzvah. So what the Chizkuni suggests is she can say v'tzivanu, because once you have this mitzvah, once men are commanded in this mitzvah, and it is a mitzvah in general, it becomes a mitzvah kiyumis for women. And that's why women aren't allowed to make a bracha. Now, the problem is, how can they say v'tzivanu? Meaning v'tzivanu implies that there's an imperative, that they must do it, not that they have the right to do it. It's still a little bit difficult how they can say v'tzivanu. What he's trying to say is they can say v'tzivanu as a mitzvah kiyumis, that they were commanded in it if they wanted to, that it was as opposed to just not being commanded in it at all. But it still remains a little bit difficult. So I ran into Menachem Kagan in Shul last night. I said, I don't understand why people don't just say Arvus, that women are commanded in it because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh, and she's responsible. Maybe that's what the Ran means. Since men are commanded in it, and she's Shayach in it, so she's going to be responsible if the man doesn't do it also. And that's why she could say v'tzivanu. She also has a chelek in that mitzvah. Obviously, if you would say arvus, you'd have a problem with the eved. Right? The eved, it wouldn't be an indication of anything, because the eved, pashtus, does not have arvus at all. It's only women who are included in arvus. So Menachem told me that he saw it somewhere, and he called me up in the middle of my shir last night. I left a message on the machine that it's a ksav sofer. That the Ksav Sofer says that there's such a concept that because of Arvus, that's why the women are allowed to make a bracha. Obviously, it wouldn't work for Avadim. The other chilik between Nashim and Avadim in general, Rav Moshe points out, and this also Menachem gave in the Marah Makom, I didn't know where it was. Rav Moshe writes in Dibros Moshe that there's a huge difference between a woman's chiyuv and mitzvos and an eved's chiyuv and mitzvos. Granted, they're both chayiv and mitzvos in the same exact mitzvos, but why are they chayiv and mitzvos? A woman is chayv mitzvahs because she's a Jew. She has kedushas Yisrael. She could say asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, right? She actually has kedushas Yisrael. An eved is chayv in mitzvos because he's living in a Jew's house and he's owned by a Jew, not because he has kedushas Yisrael. He doesn't have any kedushas Yisrael. He has no kedusha. So for him to say the words asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, it's not true. He's not mekudosh with anything. He doesn't have kedushas Yisrael. So obviously Tosfos doesn't hold like this. Tosfos thinks that women and avadim are the same over here. Tosfos thinks the bracha is not an indication of anything by the eved. But maybe based on that, you could say a distinction. Even if you hold women can make a bracha on mitzvah saseh shazman grama, it could be that by the eved, the making a bracha would be an indication that he's not an eved, because an eved can't make a bracha on mitzvah saseh shazman grama, mitzvah that he's not chayivin. Obviously, relating to the arvus issue, you get into the whole discussion about whether women are included in arvus. But the pashtus is that women are included in arvus. That's the issue that the Dagum Ravava made famous in Hilchos Kiddush, where the Dagum Ravava comes up with the problem that how could any man be motzi his wife in Kiddush when he comes home from shul? He was already yotzei Kiddush in tefillah on the daraisa level. Now he's only chayiv midrabanan. How could he be motzi his wife who's still chayiv daraisa? So normally, if I was already yotzei Kiddush, I could be motzi someone else because arvus kol Yisrael arevim zebizeh. But the Dagum Ravava quotes a Russian brachos that there's no arvus by women. thing is, if you look really carefully at that rush in Maseches Brachos, you'll see pashtus of the rush is not that there's no arvus by women, but that there's no arvus by women in something that they have no chiv in whatsoever. But if it's something that they would have a chiv in, so there would be a sense of arvus. Okay, so it's a larger discussion than we have time for now. Says the Gemara Vayter. Good. So we said that the master puts on tefillin. One more point over here. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Avadim that it's also to teach it. We said over here that if the Eved says three psukim in front of his Rebbe in shul, he's in front of his master in shul, he's not yotzei l'cheres. He doesn't go free. And then the Gemara made a chilik between someone who does the Eved who takes the initiative and the master who takes the initiative and forces the mitzvah upon the Eved, like Rabbo Iniach Lo Tefillin. Pashtus is that chiluk would go on all the cases, not just Tefillin. Meaning Pashtus is, if the Eved learns Torah on his own, in the Beis HaKnesses, so he doesn't go free. But if the master teaches him Torah, so it sounds like he should go free. The Rambam in Tarech Ches of Hilchos Avadim writes that it's usher for a master to teach his Eved Torah, and if he teaches him Torah, if the master teaches the Eved Torah, he does not go free. So that's the Achronim all ask on the Rambam. It sounds from this Gemara not that way. It sounds from this Gemara that if the master takes the initiative and teaches him, it's a raya that he was already meshachrer him, just like the Rabbo Hiniach Lo Tefillin. Unless you're going to come up with some sort of distinction between Tefillin and Torah. It could be that Tefillin is more of a sign of shichur than teaching him Torah, but it certainly doesn't sound that way from the Gemara. There are Achronim who claim that it's a total sofer in the Rambam that you have to actually change the text of the Rambam based on that. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Ki yasur avdim yomar b'yofnan. Misha amar b'shas misaso. If someone says at the time of his death, plonus shivchasi al yishtabdu bala achar mosi, that this woman who's my shivcha, I don't want anyone making her work anymore, I don't want her acting as a shivcha anymore after my death. We force the Yarshim to write a shtar shukr for her. Amru lefan of Rabbi Ami of Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Iyata Modesha Bnei Avadim. So Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi said, I understand, Rabbi, don't you agree that Al Yishtabdu doesn't really mean Shechur? It's not really a lashon of being Meshachur her. It just means leave her alone, don't be hard on her. So doesn't that mean that her children that she would have from here on in would still have the halachic status of Avadim? So granted, the father said, don't bother her too much, but her children you should be allowed to use as regular Avadim. Don't you agree? So why would we free her now and lose out on all those Avadim in the future, lose out on all those children that we can get? So Kiyas Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Misha Amar Bishas Misaso. So that was Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now we have Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that Misha Amar Bishas Misaso, Plonish of Chasi Koras Ruach, Hasali Yasalah, Koras Ruach, if a master says before he dies, look, this Shivcha always did everything I wanted. She always gave me a certain calmness. She always did everything I wanted. Make it do something nice for her as well. So Kofenas Yarshim Vosim Al Koras Ruach. So we force the Yarshim to do good by her. What does it mean to do good by her? Says Rashi, V'emein Rucha Niskara Blo Shechri Shachrua. That means whatever she wants. And if she says, I'm only going to be happy if you're Meshachar me, that's what it is. So then you have to go and you have to be Meshachar her. Not everyone agrees. The Rif writes that you only listen to her if she says something like a particular avoda that she really doesn't like. She doesn't like doing dishes. She's happy to clean the house. She's happy to do everything in the laundry. Dishes she doesn't like to do. So that's koras ruach, right? She's not interested in doing that. That you could do. Against Rashi. Rashi says you have to even free her. So why would the Rif not say like Rashi? What if she says, I'm not happy until you free me? So the Rif apparently, the way the Karmic Sanhedrin explains, the Rif apparently would hold that no, you can't free her because that's a violation of Lolan Bem Tavodu. You have a mitzvah of Lolan Bem Tavodu. How could you free her? So it doesn't mean to free her. It means not to do the labors that she doesn't want to do. But freeing her is out of the question because that's a violation of an isser to free her. How's Rashi going to address the Lolan Bem Tavodu? What about the issue of Lolan Bem Tavodu? So the Karmic Sanhedrin says that Rashi must hold, like we pointed out the other day from the Ramban, Lolan Bem Tavodu is not a standalone isser. The lo'onam tavodu is not a separate iser. It's part of the iser of lo sichanim, or it comes because of the iser of lo sichanim. Just like lo sichanim means you're not allowed to give a matnas chinam, you're not allowed to give a gift without anything in exchange. Lo'onam tavodu means the same thing. You're not allowed to free her for no reason if she doesn't give anything in return. But over here, Rashi's going to say, why is the father saying, do whatever she wants? Must be she gave him something good. It must be that she gave him something in exchange to make him want to do right by her. So since she gave him something in return, it's not a matnas chinam. Memele, you're allowed to free her. It's not a problem to free her. That's why Rashi says koras ruach means even freeing her. My taima, why do you listen to the father in this case? Mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, because he said it on his deathbed. Mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. You have to listen to what he said. Amar amemar, a mafkir avdo also evedein lo takana. If a person makes his eved hefker, the eved is stuck forever. Totally different than what we've said in the past, right? We had a discussion in the past of Shmuel said mafkir avdo is yasal l'cheres, doesn't even need to get shechur. And then we had yesterday where mafkir avdo, Rabbi Yochanan was it, who said that you still need to get shechur, right? But he does go free, just that you need to get shechur. Now amemar saying, no, if you're mafkir an eved, he's stuck, there's nothing you could do ever for him that's going to make him okay. My time, oh, what's the reason? Gufe lo kanile. By being mafkir him, he doesn't yet own his cheirus. Isuri hudiika, meaning you don't anymore own him. Midine mamonis. Isuri hudiika kabe. You only have a kinyan iser in him. You no longer have a kinyan mamon. The isur lamatzi maknilei, and you can't be makning the kinyan iser back to him. The only way to affect a shichur is by being makne him as kinyan mamon together with his kinyan iser. Once you got rid of the kinyan mamon and you still retain the kinyan iser, there's no way to address that. There's no way to give him only the kinyan iser. Amar Rav Ashi la'amemer v'amar ulam Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Chiya bar Avin amar Rav echad zev yatzal cheres v'tzarech et shichur. Didn't we say before in the name of Rabbi Yochanan and in the name of Rav, whether you're maknish your eved or you're mafkir your eved, he goes free and all you need to do is try to get shichur to complete the deal, to seal the deal. But it's not that he's stuck. He says, no, tsarich ket shichur doesn't mean you can actually write one. Tsarich ket shichur means that's what he should need to finish the deal, but guess what? You're stuck because you can't write a ket shichur because you don't have a kinyan mamun in him anymore. That's how a memer is going to understand. So a memer is going to say, I don't even argue on Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. They don't hold you can give her a get. You can give him a get shichur. They hold that he should need a get shichur, but there's nothing you can do about it. Ikada amri amar a memer. Some say that a memer said the following, that a mafkir avdo umeis also evident in Lotakarna, that it's only if you're mafkir the evident and then the owner dies, that's when the evident is stuck. My taima, gufe lo kanile, isumi, that you no longer have a kinyan mamun in the evident, isuru di ikagabe, the yorshim only have a kinyan, should only have a kinyan isur left in the evident, meaning the father only had a kinyan isur in the evident. The isuru lebrei lo moris, you can't be makne a kinyan isur, you can't be morish rather a kinyan isur to your children. So granted, the father had a kinyan isur, and had the father still been around, he could have written a get shichur according to this version of Amemar. But the children can't acquire a kinyan iser through Yerusha. So the children can't write a shtar shichur because they don't have the kinyan iser in the Eved. This concept, Isur Lebra, Isur Lebre, Lomoris, the Chak Yaakov, of all places in Hilchos Pesach, brings up this concept in the following case. Chak Yaakov in Hilchos Pesach, Sim Taflam and Hey, Oz Beis, on the bottom in the, depending on which edition of Shulchan Aruch you have, either on the side or the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, writes, Mishalo Bada Chametz Kodim Zman Isuro, if someone didn't do Bedikas Chametz before the Zman Isur, Umeis, and then the guy dies. So what do you have? This shayla actually comes up. You have a lot of Bali Tshuva, they come from non-frum families, parents don't do Bedikas Chametz, and people die in Erev Pesach. A guy didn't do Bedikas Chametz Erev Pesach, so if I'm a Baal Tshuva, my parents aren't from, so it's and they're around, so it's no problem. It's their problem. It's not my problem that they have Chametz. But what if they die on Erev Pesach? Now is it on the Yorshin to do Bedikas Chametz, and it's after the Zman Isser already? So the Chag Yaakov says, perhaps you could say Svara, Isura Lebrei Lamoris, that you can't be Morish the Isser ready to the children, meaning the Kinyan Mamon, you don't have in the Chametz anymore. This, the Gemara says in a couple of places, in Pesach and Baba Kama, that this is one of Chametz after the Zman Isser, is one of those things that it's not Bereshuso Shal Adam, but Aso Akosav Ki'ilu Bereshuso. You don't really own it anymore. The Torah just counts it as if you own it, Legabe, the fact that you're going to be punished for it. But you don't really own it anymore. So all you really have is a kinyan iser in it. So he suggests maybe it's not your problem. Even though you're Yoresh, your parents' stuff, it's not your problem because you only have a Kinyan Isser. So Amalei Rav Ashi La'amem Rav Achiyas Rav Dimi Yom Rav Yochanan. He says, but what are you going to do about the Rav Dimi Yom Rav Yochanan? We said before that if a person says at Shas Misaso that he doesn't want anyone using his Eved anymore, that we force the Yorshim to try to get Shukr afterwards. So don't you see that he was Mafkir ready the Eved when he was alive, and yet you still see that the Yorshim are allowed to write a Shtar Shukr. So he says, Rav Dima Teusi. He says, yeah, that's wrong. Amalei Mai Teusi. He says, yeah, what was wrong about it, though? What was not correct about it? The law Amr B'Lashon Shukr. The only problem was the father didn't say a Lashon of Shukr. All he said was, don't be mishtabit her, but he never used the Lashon of Shukr. Ha'amr B'Lashon Shukr Achanami. But doesn't that imply that had the father used the proper Lashon, that it would be okay? Amalei Anakad Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Sfirli. He says, I don't hold like that version of Rabbi Yochanan. I hold like the other version of Rabbi Yochanan that we quoted, that someone who says B'Shas Misaso Asala Koras Ruach. That's the version I hold of. Not the one where he says Al Yishtab Duba, where the Yorshim can then write a Shtar Shechur. Fine, period. There was a small city of Avadim, a small town of Avadim, that was sold to Gayim, Kalum Arvasa Basra'i. And then all the Gayim who owned the town, who owned all these Avadim, died. So Asal Kameh the Ravina, they went to Ravina, they didn't know what to do. The Avadim didn't know what to do. They didn't know what their status was. Amaluhu Zilu Ahadra Abne Marvasa Kamai, Vihtuluhu Gita de Kharusa. He says, go find your original masters and let the original master write Shtari Shikra for you. Amrle Rabban Ravina, Varmar Amemar, Amafkar Avdu Meis, also Evede Motakana. But what are you going to do about Amemar? Didn't Amemar say, if someone is Mafkar is Eved, meaning they lose the Kinyan Mammon in the Eved, and all they retain is a Kinyan Isser, that there's nothing you could do about it, that there is no Takana? So over here as well, our original masters sold us. Now, the Kinyan Isser, you can't be Makna to a guy. But the Kinyan Mammon, you can be Makna to a guy. So they no longer have a Kinyan Mammon in us. They only have a Kinyan Isser in us. So aren't we stuck in La Takana? Amar Lahu, Anak Rav Dimi Svirli. He says, no, I hold like Rav Dimi, so you don't have to worry about it. I mean, I hold like that original Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that even if the father, before he died, said, Al Yishtabduba, so he was mafkir her, still the children have the ability to write a Shtar Shechur. Even if all you have left is a Kinyan Nisr, I think it can be addressed, that you can write a Shtar Shechur. Amar Lahu, the Rav Dimi Tehusi, but didn't we say Rav Dimi was a mistake? Amar Lahu, my Tehusi, says, no, it was a mistake, but what was the mistake? Only in the exact lashon that was used, but not in the conceptual framework. The idea that you can take a Kinyan Isser and write a Shtar Shechur to get rid of a Kinyan Isser. My Teusa, the lo amar b'lashon shechur. That was the whole mistake, that it wasn't said in lashon shechur. Ha'amar b'lashon shechur ha'chanami. But had it been said in lashon shechur, you can be morish a Kinyan Isser, even without a Kinyan Mammon, to your children. That's still true. The Hilchus HaKravina, and that's in fact how we paskin. There was an Eved that was owned by two people, B'Shutfus. Two people were partners in a given Eved, and one of them got up and was Meshacher his half of the Eved, his portion of the Eved. Amar Idach, so what's the halacha in this case? So it's a Mishnah. This is one of the Mishnayos in Edios, where I believe it was Chazur Beis Hillel L'Horos K'divrei Beis Shammai. That Beis Shammai had a more reasonable solution than the Beis Hillel, so the Beis Hillel was moded to Beis Shammai at the end, right? Because Beis Shammai says Beis Hillel had said Ovid es Rabu Yomechad v'Satzmu Yomechad. A person is half-half, so let him work for himself one day, his master another day, and keep switching off. And the Beis Shammai said, you know, Tikantam is Satzmu, Tikantam is Rabu. You made it okay for his master that it's okay, that now he's going to get to 50% of the work. But it's Hatzvalotikin. Who's the Eved going to marry? L'Shevet Yitzara. The world was created to populate it. How's he going to be able to get married to anybody and populate the world? So what do? Kofin es Rabo, you take the remaining master and you force him to free the Eved. So now here you had a case where the Eved was owned by two guys. One of them freed him. The other one knew what was coming. He knew what the psak would be. He knew that they were going to force him to free the Eved, and then they were just going to write a shtar that the Eved will work off the money of his value and pay him off over time. But he would take a mortgage on himself, whatever, and he would pay him off over time. But you see that he knew he was in trouble. So what did he do? Amri ida chashta shami bi rabbanu mastu leminai. I know what the rabbis are going to do. They're going to make me give him up. Azul akni lebno katan. So he thought of a great etza. He was makna the Eved to his child, to his young child. We discussed yesterday whether a child has the ability to make a kinyan. Here's a Tosfos quoted a Gemara from Sukkah about how a child can be kona a lulav and esrog on the first day. Here you have right here the child's able to be kona the eved, so he was makna the eved to the child, and you figured they can't. There's no kofin on a child. They can't force a child to do anything. So they could beat me up until I do the mitzvah. They can't do anything to the kid. So he figured that was his safety. That way he'll be able to keep the eved. Shalcha, so a very sly maneuver. Shalcha Rav Yosef Breda Rav Lekamed Rav Papa. Shalcha, he sent him the following message. Kasher Asa Ken Yaseh Lo. The way he acts, that's the way we need to act with him. If he's going to act in a backhanded, underhanded manner, we have to act the same way with him. We have to give him a taste of his own medicine. Gmulo Yashiv Lo Barosho. So what are we going to do? Anan Kimlon Biyanuka Dimitra Vadaiti Legabe Zuze. Children like money. They take a piggy bank and you rattle around some money. They think that it's wonderful. You give them a few quarters. They don't understand the value of it. You give them a little loose change and they think it's fantastic. So here's what you do: Mekaminin le'apotropos. Appoint an apotropos to make sure that he's going to get fair market value for the half of the eved that he still owns. Umekarkish le'zuze. Rattle around some money in front of the kid and say, look, you could have all this money if you just free the Eved. So the kid's going to say, because the kid will say, yeah, do whatever it takes. Write a get shukr, and you write a shtar shukr in the name of the child. The child is meshachar the Eved, and then the apotropos is there to make sure that he actually gets fair market value, that he gets more than just the loose change. The loose change is just there to get him to agree, to entice him to want to be meshachar the Eved. This concept of gmulo yashiv lo barosho, of doing with him as he has done, it's concept that comes up in a different lashon legabe kiddushin, right? The sugya we discussed recently of Afkin Rabban leKiddushin Minei, the Gemara in Bab Basra says, "Tol Yuav Kiddush." If a guy hangs up a woman on a tree and says, "I'm not letting you down until you accept kiddushin from me," right? So he's Tol Yuav Kiddush. She's mekadesh her by force. So the Gemara has a similar lashon where the Gemara says, who asa shaloka hogen? Since he acted improperly, osanimo shaloka hogen. We do with him something improper, and we say that you're gafkin rabban lekiddushin minei. We say, sorry, your kiddushin is an invalid form of kiddushin because we don't like the way that he behaved. Now, this is a slightly different concept, but what we're saying over here is that when a person acts in a way that is improper, so we're going to do whatever we can to undermine his efforts to undermine the takanas chachamim. So this comes up. The Rosh in the Tshuva in Klal Ayin Ches Os Gimel says that we see from this Gemara that we have to use whatever tachbulos and haramos we can to try to address people who act in such a way. And he gives an example. He quotes from Maram Rutenberg that a guy wanted to acquire a field one time, but he didn't want the field to be meshubad to his wife's ksuba. Because he wanted this, he wanted to be protected. He wanted whatever, bankruptcy protection. But there's no such thing. So he wanted this field to be protected from any sort of shibud. So he had them write the shtar in his brother's name, and he had the brother do the kinyan. But he was, for all practical purposes, he was the one putting up the money. He was the one that was going to be running the field. So it was obviously just a harama to put someone else's name on the field. It's not the most novel idea, right? It's been done. Put someone else's name on the property or whatever, so that he'll be able to avoid any sense of shibud. And Maram Rutenberg Paskin, in that case, the field is meshubad to the ksuba. Even though technically it seems that he got around the halacha, because you look at the shtar, it's not his name, it's his brother's name. His brother's field shouldn't be meshubah to the ksuba. He says, since it's obvious that it's a harama, the field is meshubah to the ksuba. And they quote this Gemara, that's what the Rosh quotes, this Gemara, Gemula Yashav Lo Barosho. We treat such people the way they deserve to be treated. Says Gemara Vaiter, Tan Rabban Omer Asisi Ploni Abdi Ben Chorin. If a guy says, I have made my Eved a Ben Chorin, or Asoy Ben Chorin, he is made into a Ben Chorin, Harehu Ben Chorin, he is hereby a Ben Chorin, Harehu ben Chorin. In all these cases, he is considered to be a ben Chorin. All these lashonos work to make him a ben Chorin. If, however, he uses the following lashon, Esenu ben Chorin, I will make him a ben Chorin. Rebbe Yomer Kana v'chamam lo Kana. Rebbe says that that's a valid form of Cherus, that he means I am going to make him ben chorin through what I'm saying right now. That's what he means, according to Rebbe, that I'm giving him right now is chayrus. And the Chacham say no, he's not kona anything. He does not become a ben chorin. Rabbi Yochanan makul mishtar. Rabbi Yochanan says all these things are not just verbal declarations. Right? It has to be that he gives him a shtar. An eved doesn't just become free when you say I will make him ben chorin. You give him a shtar that says you are going to be a ben chorin. When you give him the shtar that says you are going to be ben chorin, that's where Rebbe says what you mean is you are going to be a ben chorin as soon as you accept this shtar. This shtar is going to hereby make you a ben chorin. Rabbi Yochanan, the Chacham disagreed. The Chacham said no. It's just a guarantee that at some future date you're going to free him. But okay, but that's the issue. It's all written down in a shtar. Tanur Rabbanan, similarly, Ha'omer, a guy says, Nasati Sada Plonus Laploni, I gave this field to so-and-so. Or Nisuna Laploni. Or Harehi Shalo. Any of those Lashonos, Harehi Shalo. The field is considered to be given to the other person. He's the owner of the field. At Nena Laploni, if you're going to say, I'm going to give it to him, Ramey Ramar Kana V'cham Ram Lo Kana, so then you have the same Machlokas. Ramey says, although it's not Rebbe, it's Ramey. Ramey says he's Kona the field. V'cham says he's not Kona the field. I'm Rabbi Yochanan V'kulun B'shtar. Rabbi Yochanan says that it's all bishtar. It all works if it's everything, all these lashonos are not just verbal, but they were actually put down into a shtar. The Ran asks why it doesn't work to say nasati even without a shtar. Meaning, shouldn't you just say, does baldim kamei edim? A guy says, I already gave this field. So why should you need a shtar? Why does it have to be written in a shtar? I already gave this field as a hodas baldin. So why do you need any more than that? So the Ran says that if he says it as a b'derech hoda'a, se'enachinami, but over here he's saying it derech matana, meaning he's saying, I never did anything, you never saw this field before in your life, and I never did any transaction in this field before in your life. But here in the shtar it says, nasati, that I gave it. So that's meaning it's only when he's not trying to be moda, he's trying to make a transaction now, that it needs to be in a shtar. But in a finami, if he's saying those words and it could sound like a hoda'a, and he might mean hoda'a, then in a finami, hoda'as baldin, is in fact kamei edim dami. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, ha'omer asisi ploni avdi ben chorin. If a guy says, I have made this eved of mine a ben chorin, v'hu amar, and the eved disputes the claim. He says, "Lo sa'ani, not true. You never freed me." Chayshin and Shem Zika lo al yidei acher. So we're choshesh that maybe the master did make him a ben chorin, just not in front of the eved. It's a zechus for an eved to be yotzei l'cheirus. So he had someone else be zocha on behalf of the eved to be yotzei l'cheirus. So Tosfos over here points out this is one of those examples in Shas where chayshinan doesn't mean maybe; it means definitely. Meaning, we assume b'toras vaday that he's a ben chorin. It's not that he has to write a new shtar shukr. If you say that I set him free, and the eved says I don't know anything about it, so we assume b'vaday that he's free. Kasafti v'nasati lo, the guy says I've written him a shtar shukr and I gave it to him. Meaning, I didn't give it through someone else. I gave it directly to him. V'lomar lo kasav liv lo nasli, and the eved says I don't know what you're talking about. Odas baldin kamei edim dami. So then we assume that odas baldin is kamei edim, and therefore if the eved is moda that he doesn't that he was never set free, so he's not free. So everyone asks, what about the Tosas? What about the Odas Baldin of the owner? He's also Odas Baldin that he did set him free. So he says no, because it's more likely that the owner's mistaken than it is that the Eved's mistaken. Tosas doesn't explain why. Other Rishonim explain because the owner, there's a whole thought process before you free an Eved. First the idea enters your mind, then you plan on it, and then you actually do it. It could be that he never reached the step of actually doing it, but he got to the step of thinking about it and planning on it, and he mistakenly thought that he did it because he was planning on it. Whereas the Eved is just a surprise. One day, boom, here's your shtar, and that's it. There was no thought process or planning, and therefore the Eved wouldn't make a mistake about it. Ha'omer nasati sada plonis laploni. The guy says, I gave this field to this person, v'omer lo nasli, and the recipient says, I don't know what you're talking about, you never gave me the field. Cheshin Hashem zikal al yidei acher. We assume that he was mezake to him through someone else making the kinyan. Kasafti nasati lo v'omer lo kasav li v'lo nasli. If he says, what do you mean? I gave it directly to you. I wrote a shtar and gave you the shtar. And the guy says, no, you didn't. I never got a shtar. Hodos baldin kamei edin dami. Then we say, hodos baldin kamei edin dami. If the recipient says he never got it, say he never got it. And again, the same svar as before. Mi ochal peros, Who eats the peros in the interim? Rav Chista on this field. Rav Chista Amar Nosei Nochel Peros. V'Rabba Amar Meshalshin Es HaPeros. Rav Chista says the giver of the field gets the peros, and Rabba says we're Meshalshin Es HaPeros. We keep the peros in a by a shlish, by a third party who's trusted, Achiyavo Eliyahu, until Eliyahu will come and clarify matters for us. V'lo Pligi, and they're in fact not arguing. Haba Abba Habibra. If the Mekabel Matana himself is alive and he says, I never got it, he's Ne'eman, and the Nosein gets the peros. The giver gets the peros. But if the Mekabel Matana is no longer alive, it's only his children, so his children can't really know for sure whether their father got it. Therefore, we can't be certain that it was never given, and therefore we give the peros to a third party who's trusted.